What preparation of CAR-T did she receive, and what preparations are out there that are being looked at?
There's two, and there's a whole patent war that ensued. Good heavens. And there's one kind of sponsored out of the University of Penn, and another one that was sponsored out of St. Jude's and Memorial. This one we did on a trial. The approved agent, I think, is the Tisaglenn-Lecleucel product, which is technically derived from the University of Pennsylvania work. I think they're equally effective. The data that I've seen, they work, and you can get long-term survivals, apparently cures. There's a plateau to the survival curve with these patients.
Can you take a step back and talk a little bit about what we know about CAR-T in ALL, how it's utilized currently, and where you think it's heading?
CAR-T, I think, is kind of where bone marrow transplant was in the 80s. Terrifying, and we're not quite sure how to use it, but we think this is where the field is going to go, and every now and then it works really well. The simple truth is, I think this is a typical patient. They often don't get to CAR-T cells. You know, she was lucky to, but in fact, frequently, these patients just are not stable enough, and so as a matter of practice, I'm using Blina more than CAR-T cells. But I chose this case to illustrate CAR-T probably works better than Blina if you can get it to work. And I think that the simple truth is it's extraordinarily expensive. You've got to have the tertiary care center and an infrastructure set up to use it. And even at our institution, that's cumbersome. So it's really in its nascency right now. I'm pretty confident that it is going to be the treatment of the future. But I think the future is still 5+ years away. Yes, it's great. But again, I think the best analogy is what bone marrow transplant used to be in the 80s. Oh my God, that's terrifying. You know, occasionally it works. So it just takes too much time. I think they're going to do a randomized trial of Blina versus CAR-T. And you really need to do the intention to treat. In other words, relapsed refractory ALL patient, okay, you're randomized to CAR-T. How many actually make it to CAR-T cell therapy and actually get it? That's going to be where the real issue is. If we can demonstrate a smooth path to, okay, step one, identify patient, step two, harvest T cells, step three, stabilize patient, keep them alive long enough to get the CAR-T cell product. Gee, maybe we should give Blina to keep them alive and then give them the CAR-T. In addition, if you put CAR-T cells in, they kill every B cell off in your body for the end of time, at which point you don't have any antibodies left, at which point your immune system is not all that great. I suspect we're going to end up using this as a bridge to transplant and putting in a whole new immune system after the CAR-T cells. So the field is wildly evolving right now with both making the technology smoother, faster, cheaper, better. And so we're going to see a lot of changes, but I'm not quite sure how it's all going to end up. But I think CAR-T is here to stay, and I think they are effective.
Bridge to transplant, are you thinking that CAR-T would not be used up front?
Oh, they might well be. Again, the problem is you either have to engineer a suicide gene to get rid of these things, or it's tough to live life without a B cell. You know, your antibody levels drop to nothing and you're giving gamma globulin all the time. But if you put in a whole new immune system that reconstitutes, then you can get B and T cells from the donor. Or engineer a suicide gene into the T cells.
A suicide gene into the T cells.
Yeah, so they're looking at that as well.
You mentioned the concern about the delay in therapy, and there's been this term used, you actually use it related to blinatumomab, but also off-the-shelf CAR-T.
Yeah.
Assuming that blinatumomab is not exactly identical to CAR-T, you kind of seems like you have this feeling that maybe CAR-T is more effective. Do you see the way towards off-the-shelf CAR-T?
No, not yet. You've got to be able to, you know, it's the patient's T cells. Unless you can find a way to design a T cell that doesn't randomly attack everything, which is random donor T cell, you have to use the patient's T cells. So I don't really see a way around that yet.
You also mentioned the issue of the B cell aplasia that's seen, the need for gamma globulin. If you do that, you do administer gamma globulin, do these patients continue to have problems, or does that pretty well solve the problem?
So I think we're learning about that going forward. I mean, I certainly had a patient who had had a transplant, and therefore his T cell immunity wasn't terribly normal. Then he got treated with CAR-T, and now he's lost all his B cells, and he actually died of a garden variety viral infection. poor man just didn't have any immune system. It was, you know, severe combined. So no, this is something we're going to learn about going forward. It's not like we have huge numbers of these patients yet. That's the other kind of interesting thing is like even, you know, only the couple centers that develop them can say they have dozens of these patients. We're not talking hundreds or even thousands of these patients. It's dozens. So we're still learning about this.